So our tech segment this Thursday involves the law, which is a very sort of low-tech operation, but also the highest tech of companies around the world, Google. And joining us now is Jeff Rosen, law professor at George Washington University. He joins us from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
And Clive Thompson, tech writer whose work regularly appears in the New York Times and Wired and who regularly appears on this show. Good morning, Clive.
Morning.
All right, so here's the story. Both of you are familiar, but let me give you the facts. An Italian court found three Google executives guilty of invasion of privacy because a video was posted to YouTube, a site owned by Google. Okay. The video depicted a boy with Down syndrome being bullied by four teenagers. Google was alerted about it. They took it down, but prosecutors argued that it should never have been allowed on there in the first place. It violated Italian privacy laws, and therefore Google was liable. Three executives convicted. Now, global companies have standards and practices people, as a matter of course, in all nations where they operate to make sure that they're complying with the rules. How do you think this is a little bit different, Clive Thompson?
Well, this one is a little bit different because the EU, you know, had an existing law from several years before that did the same sort of thing it does in the U.S., where it says if there's anyone who's hosting stuff online, like videos or blogs or comments, they're not liable for what's on those sites so long as if they get a complaint right. about something, they take it down quickly, sort of a safe harbor. And so Google thought that it was going along with the law of the land in the EU as it does in the U.S. and other countries.
So, Jeff Rosen, first of all, is there any notion, vague or otherwise, of a kind of globally accepted standard of free speech that might be a guide here on the Internet?
There's really not. It's striking that the person who has more control over free speech than any judge or any king is the deputy general counsel of Google. It's a woman called Nicole Wong. She's called the decider. And basically, she's woken up in the middle of the night. She gets calls from the Turkish government, which says that their privacy laws are being invaded because Greek football fans are calling the founder of Turkey gay. Or in Thailand, it's a crime to insult the king. And basically, Google has to comply with local laws, with laws in all the countries in which it operates, because if it doesn't, its employees will be thrown in jail. The only real free speech standard, as Clive suggested, the only global notion is not holding platforms like Google liable for what they post. And in the U.S., that's a clear standard because the Communications Decency Act says that content providers can't be held liable as long as they don't make content decisions. In the EU, there was this broad understanding that there'd be a similar principle applied. But by thwarting that principle, the Italian criminal court has frightened not only Google, but media companies throughout the world, because all of them fear that their employees could be hauled off to jail because of content that other people post.
All right. Now, we should remind people, this is, first of all, a Google video, not a YouTube video, but the sort of the same responsibility points to Google here. This is as low-tech as it gets. And this is basically a standard that if I take a libelous poster and put it up on a CBS-owned billboard that happens to be blank, what the Italians have done is said that CBS is liable if they don't take it down, that the prosecutors don't have to come after me. There's no really high technology involved here, except for the fact that Google is this ubiquitous brand that operates everywhere in the world. Clive Thompson, is Google in a position to basically create a template for international law based on its corporate policies around the world?
Well, no. I mean, countries are sovereign, and they can do as they will. And Google, as Jeffrey said, often has to work around countries' laws.
But there are precedents that are going to be set here. I mean, if Google plays this badly, the precedents could go one way. If they do it another way, it could go another way.
Well, it is interesting. Some people have speculated that what Italy has done here is sort of shot itself in the foot, because a lot of not just Google, but a lot of internet companies that offer services might think twice about offering that service in Italy if they have something. We're going to host tweet-like things. You know, well, what if someone defames someone else in a tweet that is, hosted by your company in Italy? Are you going to get hauled into court? So the response could be Italy, we want you to change your law, but we're just not going to participate. We're not going to play ball in Italy.
Jeff Rosen, is the value of something like Google and just the Internet in general degraded by, depending on how this goes, in the sense that if you're broadcasting to the world on some sort of Facebook page, you believe, and that's sort of the product that you're buying, that you're broadcasting to the whole world, when in effect, the way this could go is you're actually broadcasting to a bunch of filters that may or may not let your content be seen.
That's a real danger. Obviously, in China, it was very acute, so much so that Google eventually decided they're not going to play anymore. But there is a solution to this, some form of transparency. In Germany, for example, Google has to take down Holocaust denial videos, which are illegal in Germany, although not in the U.S., but they post a link to a public interest website saying, this link has been removed, and if you want to find it, here's the archive. So that, at least, people know that when things are being filtered, they know what they're getting, and then they can make a decision about whether to search on the German Google or the French Google or whatever. That's one sort of solution.
Very quickly, Jeff Rosen, is there a solution here for Google to maybe do it better than maybe having a single decider who gets wakened up in the middle of the night operating this sort of thing?
Google does have a solution they prefer. Nicole Wong says, I can't deal with this. It's too much work. I prefer that democratic countries tell me what to remove. So in Germany, for example, there's a state body that identifies YouTube videos that it wants taken down and notifies Google. Google would prefer that Italy do that, too. Italy hasn't done that. But ironically, that solution might protect less speech than Google does right now, because Nicole Wong is actually pretty pro-free speech.
A process is possibly coming out of the mist here. Jeff Rosen, law professor at George Washington University, and Clive Thompson, tech writer from the New York Times and Wired. Thanks so much to both of you, talking about the conviction of three Google employees in an Italian court because a YouTube Google video wasn't taken down fast enough. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about transportation as a part of our project with our home station, WNYC. And we're going to look at gas prices and commuting costs. But we need your help, your reporting, to get this story started. Tell us how increasing gas prices and bus fares and maybe even train tickets have hit you in your wallet and whether they've affected how you travel. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our website, thetakeaway.org. You can also go there to give us your suggestions on who's had a good or bad week at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it to our site, thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headley.
And I'm John Hockenberry here in Frustration Nation. This is The Takeaway.